This is May the 24th, 2020. We lit out early last week, so. All right. May 24th, 2020. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. And the title of it is, Who is He? Question mark. Who is He? This is going to be interesting. Oh, I have another. You'll understand it. We'll get to, well, you know what? Let me wait till I get to it. I'm sorry. God does not operate by the Gregorian calendar. That's the calendar we have. God has established the dates on His calendar by the feast He set down to the Israelites. The feast, which are what, after years of listening to Billy Brim, she talks about God's dates or His moeds. If you look up feast, it means moed, M-O-E-D. It's an appointment, a fixed time or season, a festival, an assembly convened for a definite purpose. They were set as God's timetable so we would rightly divide the word of truth and also the times and the seasons throughout history. And, of course, Israel's the time clock. God gave the feast to Israel to be the keeper of His time. The Gregorian calendar is based on the earth's rotation around the sun, which we know is a lie. It's a false narrative. For the earth is fixed and in place, and the sun, moon, and stars rotate on circuits over the face of the earth. So their calendar is lunar, based on the moon. They set their feast. Every year it's different. I guess I didn't. But anyway, there was a deal I was looking at that showed the feast days of this year. They're different than last year. It has to do with the moon. Okay, Genesis 1, He gave us, well, I'll just read it to you. This is Genesis 1:14. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So, the constellations, we know that Jesus, the wise men, because of the teaching of Daniel, He was over all the wise men of that in the east. They followed the star. They followed the constellations for the birth of Jesus. That's what brought them to Jesus. Okay. All right, this feast are set on the lunar cycle of the moon. I say here, look at the sheet at the time of the feast, and I'm going, well, what happened to it? I thought sure that I had made a copy of that. But I don't see it here. Okay. I'm not saying that we should keep the feast. Even Billy Brim, even though she has a school she was building over there in Israel, she saw no purpose in Christians keeping the feast, but she's very knowledgeable about them. And I can see where it would behoove us to be knowledgeable about them, because this is how God's speaking to us through signs and through His Word of the times we live in. Okay. But it'd be to our advantage to be able to rightly discern the times. I believe the reason that they've screwed this up so bad in their interpretation, especially Revelation, is because it's based on the Gregorian calendar. We try to fit everything within the calendar that we have, which is not God's calendar. Okay. All right, Joel 2. We can't blame the people that have taught us, because they didn't know. They just were taught what they were taught, you know what I'm saying? Or seminaries or whatever. Joel 2:25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants, upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So we have thought like Hollywood concerning these things, but we can clearly see, with all the blood moons that have transpired over the last few years, we are seeing the signs in the heaven that the Bible is plainly showing us. They changed all the planets and all the constellations that were called, all the signs of the zodiac. All the names were proper, but they were using it for evil. And they also named them as planets way out there, and they're not, they're constellations. I've been pondering about the he in Daniel chapter 9, and the Lord began to speak to me about it, and I'm going to share with you what he spoke to me. Let's go to chapter 9 of Daniel. Begins at verse 24. Seventy weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince shall come, shall destroy the city, and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and 1 week, and in the midst of one of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Okay, this is what the Lord said to me. There is really only one subject in this passage, and it is Messiah. Prince there means a military commander. And we're going to go to Matthew 24. The he that confirms the covenant is not the Antichrist, it is Jesus. Matthew 24. Jesus explained this to his disciples. All right, 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take away anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. This is when Rome overtook. So they were under Roman rule, but this is when they overtook them. I think it was 70 years later. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. So they overthrew, tore down the temple. Okay. The weeks here is a marker on God's calendar. Now, you heard what I said about the feast. It's called the Feast of Weeks. We're in the Feast of Weeks right now. Feast of Weeks starts at Resurrection Sunday through May 30th, which is Pentecost. 50 days. The Feast of Weeks begins at Passover, ends at Pentecost. 50 days exactly. The Omer is what it's called. The Omer is a sheaf. It was a harvest offering brought to the temple on the second day of Passover. Let's look at some scriptures in Leviticus. God's calendar, his moads, are concerning the feast. What he does happens on these occasions, because this is God's calendar. It's not like our calendar. Leviticus 23. I see that wrinkled up face. Their wheels are turning. Leviticus 23. I told you, they've messed with our Bible. They messed with it just enough to get us thinking, way out here, someday something's going to happen, so we're not going to be here anyway, so we're just not even going to pay attention to it. And we haven't. Y'all there? Leviticus 23:9. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish, of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Let me see what I... Okay. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. The drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. So these feasts, God intended for them to be kept till he came, throughout the generations. Okay? Not to confuse y'all. There is a further command that from the day when the Omer was brought, 7 weeks were to be counted, and on the 50th day a festival was to be celebrated. Now we know Jubilee's 50. All right, Leviticus. Let's see, I stopped at 14. Now 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. That's 7 weeks. Now we're looking at the 70 weeks, Jesus. Talk about the abomination of desolation. Weeks. Okay? For unto the morrow, after the 7th Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord, and ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. Now you gather every day, they take every day or every week, they have a stalk of wheat until they've gathered a bundle of this, the wheat, the barley. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire, sweet savor unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. The priest shall weigh them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute for even in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Okay, this festival was later called Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, because it falls on the day after the 7 weeks have been counted. All right, now Leviticus 25:15. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruit, he shall sell unto thee. All right. I put here the 70 weeks is 3,500 years. From Daniel's time till the Messiah showed up is like 483 years. Now, I was listening to Melissa yesterday, Freedom Force Battalion, and she brought up something about the Jubilees that I hadn't heard anybody say this since Charles Capps. God's calendar is also based on the Jubilees. Our history is based on the Jubilees. She, in this, I'll give y'all a copy of this. Till Messiah comes and enforces Jubilee, from Adam to Abraham is 40 Jubilees. From Abraham to the first coming of Christ is 40 Jubilees. And so whenever he speaks that to, it's in Genesis where he says, I'll give man 120 years. Charles Capps, it said, that's Jubilees. And I've always believed that ever since then. And that's what she's saying here. That's 120 Jubilees equals 6,000 years. So if y'all want to. Right there it says, 10 Jubilees equals 500 years till Messiah. Jesus entered Jerusalem and would have celebrated Jubilee, restoring all that had been stolen, but he was cut off 50 days before. Now we know what happened on the 50th day after Jesus was cut off, after resurrection, what happened? Acts 2, the Spirit was poured out. So you could say it was a Jubilee because Jesus is the one that stood up in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He was proclaiming Jubilee when he did that. Okay, 7 weeks and 3 score and 2 weeks. 3 score and 2 weeks, Messiah was crucified. Okay, let me look at Matthew 24 again. Okay. The weeks are the counting from God's calendar, not ours. Now we can see why we've been wrong about most everything. Jesus told us in 3 different references to watch the fig tree. I'll look at one. This is Matthew 24:32. It says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word shall not pass away. It's also Mark 13 and Luke 21 also give that reference. But the word watch there, I looked it up, it means keep awake. Keep awake. What is the meaning? To keep awake and be aware according to God's calendar of the times and the seasons we are in. Rightly discerning the times through God's moeds. Church doctrine has taught us that the end of times was a time to be afraid and to expect all these horrible things to happen. Well, folks, there's already been plenty of that done for over the last 6,000 years. It started in Genesis 3 when man got all God gave him stolen from him by the devil, the beast. His system developed from there. The time we are in is not a time of the wicked being destroyed and the righteous, but it's a time of the wicked being destroyed and the righteous being exonerated. See, we've been taught all these hard, terrible things are going to happen to us and everybody's scared. But it's just the opposite. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures on that. 1 Thessalonians 4. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, verse 13, even as others which have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I remember Joe Sproul teaching on this. He said, it didn't say terrorize one another with these words. It said comfort one another with these words. It's all good for us. We need to quit looking at it the other way. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2, 12. I think I meant to read more than that. Yeah. All right. Let's just start with the first verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, he was unsealed in Revelation 5 when the seals were loosed, and then the trumpets were the warnings of the false flag events. We already know who the beast is. He's been revealed. But it wasn't revealed until just recently. Not to me. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God? Who could it be other than Satan? Or that is worship? So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time? The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now litteth will lit until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Well, what was taken out of the way? John was weeping because no one was worthy to unseal. And then the seals, the angels began to unseal. That obstacle, that holding of your eyes was, it was taken away. And then our eyes could see the truth. And then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. We are being like a flood with fake news. This whole earth is in deception. That they should believe a lie. The Lord will send them strong delusion that they will believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's been going on a long time, people. We've been living it 6,000 years nearly. Okay, the he of the unsealing is Jesus, just as well as he of the covenant is Jesus. Okay, I'll read Revelation 5 to you because and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. There he is. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and in the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign forever. So we begin to see in chapter 6, the seals begin to be revealed. Okay, while preparing this, the Lord quickened to me a book. It's the first book that I ever read concerning the deep state. It's by Rodney Howard Brown. It's called The Killing of Uncle Sam. This book right here. He brought up to me the name of the man that started Freemasonry, which is Cecil Rhodes. I'm going to read you just a few little places in here. I would have never thought of this. In fact, I had to look for 30 minutes to find this book on my shelf. It just, anyway. The vision of a Freemason. Take up the white man's burden, send forth the best ye breed. Go bind your sons to exile, to serve your captain's need. To wait in heavy harness on fluttered folk and wild. Your new taught sullen peoples, half devil, half child. Yeah. The demise of Uncle Sam began with a brainstorm that struck Cecil Rhodes on June 2, 1877, the day he became a lifetime member of the Oxford University Apollo chapter of the Masonic Order. Rhodes immediately put the revelation to paper in a document that he called his Confession of Faith. The idea gleaming and dancing before one's eyes like a will-o'-the-wisp at last frames itself into a plan. Why should we not form a secret society but with but one object, the furtherance of the British Empire and the bringing of the whole uncivilized world under British rule for the recovery of the United States, for the making of the Anglo-Saxon race, but one empire. We're looking at the New World Order. I know from reading this book that he was a pedophile. He liked little boys. He was a very, very corrupt, very evil man. And from there, it spread all through the United States. I mean, we were talking about D.C. is nothing but one Masonic symbol. So is London City, so is Vatican, the Vatican. But I wanted to make a point here about the new Catholic faith. The founders of Freemasonry, who gathered at the Goose and Gridiron Alehouse, wanted their society to be open to men of various professions, provided they were approved by the leaders of the lodge and is submitted to a secret rite of initiation, the religion of Freemasonry. Albert G. Mackey wrote in his Encyclopedia of Masonry, it is not sectarian. It admits men of every creed within its hospitable bosom, rejecting none and approving none for his particular faith. It is not Judaism. It is not Christianity. It does not meddle with sectarian creeds or doctrines, but teaches fundamental truth. At its altar, men of all religions may kneel to its creed. Disciples of every faith may ascribe. So the Masonic religion quickly spread to South Africa. See, Ronnie Howard Brown is from South Africa. He's now a citizen of the United States of America. So anyway, he just goes into the history of all that. And I've heard it said that all of our faiths have been compromised. All of them have been because of this. It's bled into every nation, and it's distorted all faiths into something that, like, here we are trying to figure out things in the Word of God, and it's been distorted to the place where it makes it look like it's another way, and it's not. So it's happened to all. It's throughout the whole earth, and that was the beginnings and the origins. I mean, Cecil Rhodes, if you want to call him the beast, call him the beast. He's just one of many that have spread this and kept it spread and ruined nations and killed people. Okay. Satan's seat is the Vatican, the place of the false prophet, one of the religious branches of the three city states. Let's look at that. This is Revelation 17. I don't know if you heard about the black pope passing away. They say the black pope really is over the white pope. He's at the very top. He's the puppet master. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit from the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, which are the colors of the bishops and the, what's the other one? Cardinals and bishops. Cardinals wear red, bishops wear purple, and decked with gold and precious stones. Have you ever seen any of them that didn't have pearls and all these big rings and they're decked out? And having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication, upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints through the Jesuits. They slain many people. And the blood of the martyrs, they probably drank their blood, just like the woman on the beast. And the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Okay, let me see how far. Okay, that's enough of that. Did you ever notice that God's times are also associated with the Jubilees? That was Genesis 6:3, where it says, I will give unto man 120 years, which was 120 Jubilees. The Omer countdown, or the Omer countdown, is 7 weeks, then celebration of the Festival of Weeks on the 50th day, which is Pentecost, or you could say Jubilee. Jesus proclaimed Jubilee in Luke 4. The Passover to Pentecost is 50 days, and that is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, was Pentecost. My overall opinion of Daniel's 70 weeks is this. It is foretelling the time of the Messiah's redeeming of us and the time of his destroying the abomination of desolation, which is the worship, probably even in God's temple. The Vatican is supposed to be the main hub of pedophilia and child sex trafficking in the world. Okay, let me read it over. My overall opinion of Daniel's 70 weeks is it is the foretelling of the time of the Messiah redeeming us and the time of his destroying the abomination of desolation that Satan has been doing in the earth since Genesis 3. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And I believe if his people had received him, he could have done it then. It was going on then. But he wept because they rejected him. We are there, and for us as Christians, it's the greatest time to be alive. It only gets better from here. And I have one last scripture here. Leviticus 25. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years in the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. You shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you. You shall return every man into his possession. You shall return every man into his family. Verse 11, and Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possessions. I believe that's where we're headed. In fact, the 50th, it's actually May the 30th, next Saturday. What they're celebrating right now, the Omer. Yeah. I'm thinking, wouldn't that be cool if he announced the reset? We'll see. Just wait, one more thing, just for your information, talking about the false flags. The novel Futility, a 1998 creation of Morgan Robertson, detailed the sinking of an unsinkable ship, the largest vessel afloat. This imaginary ship named Titan collided with an iceberg during April, resulting in a high loss of life because the ship carried too few lifeboats. 14 years later, talking about they project. 14 years later, with uncanny similarities, the real ship Titanic recreated what happened in the novel. See, we've seen movies that are projecting the COVID-19. One movie was in 2009. The two ships had almost identical names. Both ships were designated unsinkable. Both were touted as the largest ships at sea. Both collided with icebergs in April. Both resulted in many deaths due to a shortage of lifeboats. Plus, both had strikingly similar floor plans and technical descriptions. Benjamin Guggenheim, Isidore Strauss, the head of Macy's department store, and John Jacob Astor, probably the wealthiest man in the world, were all killed when it sank. Those three men were the main opposition to the creation of the United States Fed. By April 1912, all opposition to the Federal Reserve was eliminated. In December of 1913, the Federal Reserve came into being in the United States, controlled by the Illuminati bankers. That's just one of many false flag events. They opposed it. JFK opposed it. Reagan opposed it. But Donald Trump, he'll triumph over it. So.